time to chat to Peter Allam, and today we are chatting about leases. Peter, very, very good morning on this great Monday morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning, listeners. A lovely morning. Still sort of half summer, I suppose, but with a little bit of a chill in the air. It was cold this morning when I opened up the front.
It was.
Anyway, today's chat is a very interesting one because as of the beginning of April, the Rental Housing Act implemented a number of new, I'll call them tightened leases, new key adjustments that are necessary and that landlords know, have to know. So today is for all landlords and for the tenants, both of them, but particularly aimed at landlords to ensure that you are now doing things correctly insofar as the lease is concerned if you have property that you are leasing out. So let's deal first with the, not with commercial leases, but with home leases. That is a very important one, and the key changes there is that as of April, it has become mandatory that all rentals require written, legally compliant, legal lease agreements. So there's no longer a shake of the hand. You can rent my house for 6 months at a rental of $5,000. That is out. The law is such now that the Housing Act requires it to be in writing, signed by both parties and obviously witnessed. Okay. There is also the deposit protection. There's been a lot of ums and ahs, disputes over deposits. That's normally what happens. Tenants seem to think that with their last month's rental, they can say, take it off the deposit. No, you're not allowed to do that. And the lease must clearly clarify, the deduction. You need to pay your rental until the last one, and then the deposit is there to protect, the damages and things like that, the exit inspection at the end of the day. So the deposit these days has to be held in an interest-bearing account with proof of the deposit mandatory now. In other words, you cannot anymore take a deposit of 10,000 rand from somebody, put it into your banking account, and at the end of the time give them back the 10,000. That's not a little bonus for you to utilize any longer. It was allowed in previous years, but as of April, the deposit must be in an interest-bearing account, and it must be a separate account for that. So it's a burden on you. If you're renting property, you need to go into the bank, you need to open a separate account for the rental, and you need to put it in there, and it must lie there safely until the end of the period. So there is the deposit protection for the tenant, and of course it also protects the various aspects that there are. So often we come along 5 years later and the guy says, I can't remember if the person paid a deposit or not.
Yes.
Then you ask the tenant, can you give us proof of a deposit? And they because invariably what happens is that somebody, for example, comes today to inspect my premises. They say, yes, we want it. So they say, okay, we're going to pay you a deposit of 10,000. They pay now. And then they don't pay again until the end of May because they pay the rental in arrear perhaps. So then you've got a rental that you don't know if it was for the month of May or whether it was at the end of May for May. There's no clarity in them. So the written lease and the deposit protection are going to cover both of those two important aspects. So the written lease will say what the deposit is. What deposit can I charge? The law has also said you can either charge 1 or 2 months rental as a deposit. So that depends on the landlord and the agreement that you reach. So the deposit amount is very important as well, and will be recorded in the lease agreement. There'll be no doubt about that. They've also made it mandatory for inspections to take place. Obviously, one of the biggest gripes with all leases is a person comes along and says, no, that door was broken when I got in there. No, the house had no keys. No, the swimming pool motor was not working. So they have now said that there must be a joint, written, and interesting or video recorded entry. That's entered into the arena with phones these days. So when you go into the house, you need a joint inspection. It must be written, or it can be a video that you take at the time, which is sent to both parties and agreed upon by both parties. And then, of course, as mentioned, that's the entry one. And then when the lease comes to an end, at the end of the period, the exit inspection are required to document damages, if there are any damages. So, you know, the right thing to do is that if you get a decent tenant, and thank goodness most tenants are decent, you know, they will keep your home neat and tidy. They will make sure everything is kept up to date. And, you know, I always say, get a nice relationship with your tenant so that if anything goes wrong, they notify you straight away. And have the decency to repair it or look into it and sort it. You know, there's no such thing automatically that the tenant is liable for the painting of the inside of the house. The tenant is liable for this, that, and everything. If you've got wear and tear on your taps and things like that, that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
But a lot of leases do add, you know, the maintenance of the internal. So they say we will charge you a lease amount of $5,000 instead of $7,500, so that there's a little cushion of $2,500 that you maintain the inside, make sure the plugs are kept up to date, lights are up to date, electricity, water, you know, any damage that happens inside, wear and tear that happens. That there is often found as well where people have great relationships with their tenants.
Yes.
So, you know, you need to make sure that those inspections are done and that it's clear in the lease as to who does what. And then, of course, another thing that's crept in with the new Act is that habitability standards are stricter. You know, waterproofing, basic service access, your water must be available, your electricity must be available, there mustn't be arrears in all of those so that you cut off all the time and that type of thing. So the standards there are expected to be of a higher degree, and you need to make sure that the person enjoys the premises unrestricted. In other words, water is available, electricity is available, there are no leaks in the roof. Every time it rains, they don't have to put buckets down to clean out or something like that, and that, you know, the property is easily accessible and that type of thing. So it must be habitable. That's the main thing to see in that sort of section there. Inspection notice, another thing that's important is that, you know, you used to have these landlords that just arrive at the house.
Oh.
You know, there'd be a story, my neighbor tells me that the guys are not looking after my house, so you do a...
So he just arrives.
And all of a sudden, you surprise the people because you want to catch them out and you want to show them that they're not looking after the house properly. So they have now put in that you need to give 24-hour notice if you're going to inspect. That's something new. So must give them at least one day's notice that you're coming to do an inspection. And I think that's a very good thing because, you know, a lot of people leave in the morning, don't make their beds, don't tidy up the house, come home at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and then tidy up everything. So it is also embarrassing if you're a mom and you've got to get kids to school and you're in the morning doing breakfast and dad's gone off to work or he's in the country or something like that working. You know, it's also something that I think is good. The new thing that says you must give 24-hour notice. At least you know then that they're coming. If you do have dirty walls where the kids have messed, at least it gives you a chance to clean them up and make sure that the house is respectable and in good top condition. So I have no problem with that. A lot of people say that's nonsense because you want to catch them out. It's not a matter of catching people out. It's a matter of having a good working relationship with your tenant. That is important than anything else, and that is the key to everything, is that the relationship is sound and that the parties understand each other and work together. So the other nice thing these days, and our one in East London is fantastic, is that the housing department here, the rental tribunal, focus faster, it's stricter, the timelines are dealt with immediately. And, you know, any unfair practices can be taken there, so be careful. If you're a landlord and you have a problem with your tenant, you can go there and they will pick it up for you and bring it before their hearings. Likewise, if you're a tenant and you're getting nowhere with your landlord, he can't prejudice you and say, rather get up and leave. You know, that used to be the favorite thing, is where the tenant was caught out, he would say, you know what, I don't want you in my premises anymore. Just rather get out of here. And I'll find somebody else. It's not as simple as that anymore.
Mm.
You know, you can go to the tribunal and they will help you with that and sort that out. Of course, the other nice thing about leases these days, which has been there for quite a while, in the old days you had to give notice on the first day of the month or the last day of the month. You had to give a full month and things like that. That there has changed quite a bit as well. You know, it depends on what you put into the written lease as to notice. And also these days, if the landlord, a lot of landlords have a second home and then they get themselves into financial difficulties and they have to return to their home that you're renting, there's now clauses in there that says, you know, if they want to move into the property themselves, they have a right to give you notice, a shorter notice.
Okay.
And things like that. If they want to sell because they're in financial predicament or renovate, or as I mentioned, move into the property, they can now, in terms of the new act, give you a shorter notice advise that they are not going to renew something, even if you have an option to renew. You know, invariably you get a 2-year lease with the option to renew for a further 2 years. If they say to you that's because they're going to sell or renovate or move in themselves, they can give you notice to say we will not be renewing the lease. It's not automatic your renewal anymore. You know, depending, of course, on how it is worded as well. If they've slipped up and they haven't given you notice, then yes, you can insist on remaining there. So, you know, your situation with leases these days, with rentals for homes, is a lot easier in the eyes of the attorneys and that assisting, in that it must be reduced to writing. And, you know, so many people come in and say, we really don't need a written lease. You're only going to make a little bit of money. You're going to charge me X amount to draw the lease and that type of thing. Let me tell you that written protection is worth the money you spend, because 99 out of 100 problems arise as a result of no written lease. Ones where you have written leases, they are easy to resolve. They are easier to resolve even if you go through the Housing Act section. So it's of vital importance that you have a written lease. Don't save costs. You know, don't be what they call a pound foolish or whatever. Uh-huh. Make sure that you sort it and get it in writing so that you are well protected. You know, other considerations that come into the lease as well is your evictions. They will be covered in a written lease, which you won't have normally. It helps to prevent unlawful evictions. Unfortunately, you know, it's not a situation anymore where people go lock the doors and say, you're out of my house, end of story. I mean, I've even heard stories where they take all the stuff out, put it on the front veranda, and say to the person, I've now locked you out, you owe me arrears for 10 months, that's the end of the story, pick up your goods and get off my premises.
Yeah.
So your unlawful evictions are also protected in the agreement that's written and tells you exactly what procedure needs to be. Take the law into your own hands and evict people. You also cannot take the law into your own hands and decide that you've had enough of your landlord and you're moving out without notice. So it works both ways. It's not as if it's a one-sided thing.
Yes,
it's there. The written lease clearly states what the position is with evictions, what the position is with leaving the premises as a tenant. You know, you can't just leave the landlord high and dry. You can't leave the tenant high and dry. So, you know, as we were talking about the lease termination and the days, it's no longer a month necessary. The Consumer Protection Act says that you can cancel a fixed term lease with 20 business days written notice. So it's business days. It's not 20 consecutive days. Business days exclude Saturdays and Sundays and public holidays. So it's there. But if you have a proper written lease, it will tell you that if you have an early termination, that there are penalties that can be imposed. This is what people don't realize about having a written lease, is that you can say that there will be a penalty of 1 month's rental or 2 months' rental for an early termination. And if that's written into your lease, with that's in writing, then you can, yes, of course, you can implement that. You know, it's not a case of, I can't afford the rental anymore, so I'm going. You will be responsible for the penalty that is imposed. I think carefully before you sign a lease, read it properly. You know, invariably people that are wanting premises, they're so desperate and they just sign anything without reading properly. So make sure that you check out what the position is with early termination. Another aspect that's normally covered in the leases, your home lease, is your rental increases annually. You know, there must be notice. If the lease does not say that the lease is 10 Rand for a year, increasing by 5% in year two and year three, then, you know, you've got to then negotiate it if it's not clearly stipulated then. But when you do a lease agreement, you normally specifically specify what the position is with the rental increases. They are of vital importance and need to be contained in the lease agreement in writing. And of course, when we talk about that particular aspect, the rent payments, we also, you know, in the lease agreement, you will have a section that says the rent must be paid into Joe Soap, Jack Bank, account number, full details of where to pay are normally contained in there. And what the position is if people want to change that from one person to another. So, you know, it's there. Your rent payments are clearly specified and sorted. You know, we were talking earlier about your dispute resolution, the Rental Housing Tribunal. You know, it is a lot faster now. They deal with illegal evictions. They deal with broken taps and lights and non-payment. They deal with basically everything contained in a lease agreement. So long as you have a proper leasing agreement, I mean a lease agreement in place, the Rental Housing Tribunal can assist you. And yes, we do have a very good one in East London that's up to date and works on it immediately. They don't wait, you know, for you to have to add legal letters between each other and that. They can act immediately. Very important. So, you know, the new thing is that lease agreements, verbal versus written, verbal agreements are not illegal at this stage, but the new act says that from April they must be in writing. So that will get rid of any misunderstandings that there may be. The other aspect, you know, we've already mentioned maintenance and repairs. Your lease agreement will ensure whose duty it is. Make sure that the premises are habitable, and then, you know, more specifically under what the position is with regard to structural repairs, electrical faults, leaking roofs, broken geysers, lawn cutting and things like that. The tenant's duties are there. You know, you normally specify in there that, you know, if a bulb goes, it's for the tenant. Maintaining the garden is for the tenant. Ensuring that taps are not leaking and that, you know, the normal day-to-day thing. So a well-written lease agreement will spell out all of that and leave basically no grey areas. As mentioned as well, it will give you the rent increases annually. It will give you early termination. And like mentioned, you know, the main thing with all of this is back to what I stated right in the beginning. Good working relationship with the tenant sorts out all the problems that there are. Communication is of the utmost importance. You know, stay on good terms with your tenant, stay on good terms with your landlord. And these days, there's no reason to say, oh, I can't get hold of him. You know, with emails and WhatsApp messages, you can form a paper trail that covers you properly from both sides. And I always recommend that. And of course, the nice new thing about having the video inspection, that's fantastic, because if there's a burst pipe or something, you send him a picture of the burst pipe. You can't say that it's not there.
That there's, you know, not a burst pipe.
You can't repair something and say, oh, your pipe burst and here's the bolt. If you show them what happened and they did nothing, then you've got it there. So, you know, regular check-ins, regular discussion with your landlord is important. And then, of course, you know, I've had one or two queries lately where the landlord says, you know, look, the rates have gone up and the rental is no longer covering the, you know, what the house is costing. Can I increase it? No, you can't. You need to take all of that into account. When you agree on a rental, you must understand that annually your rates will increase and things like that. So there must be proper notice and proper agreement in that regard. Another thing that often crops up here, I've got one at the moment where the people moved out on the 30th or 31st of March, and they want their deposit immediately. Mm. You know, it normally tells you when the deposit must be returned. It normally tells you when the exit inspection will take place and what happens with that. If there are damages, it comes off there. It's not a case of pay back. Yes, it can be set off. There's no doubt about that. You know, another thing that often happens is that there's a burst pipe or something and the landlord hasn't fixed it, so people withhold their rental. You know, it'll play and clarify that thing in an agreement as well. So if you've got an agreement, have a look if it says you can do that or not.
Yeah.
You know, the tribunal will also consider it and sort that out. And, of course, taking the law into your own hands for evictions is not possible. There is a procedure. Yes, it's a long procedure, unfortunately, in our courts. You've got to give notice, if it's in the BCM area, to the municipality to see if they can find alternative housing and things like that. So it's not a straightforward procedure. It's not a matter of going to court today and getting your eviction tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more than that. So I go back to where I started again and say, make sure that you have a good working relationship with your tenant. If there are problems, see the tenant, try to resolve them so that on an amicable basis, if you have to get rid of them, you can. You know, importantly is that it's there. There must be a balance between the landlord and the tenant. Mm. You must understand each other. You must work together. You know, the landlords have certain duties and compliances to attend to. And similarly, the tenant has the exact same thing. It's not a one-sided agreement. You don't rent the house and landlord must do everything.
Right.
There's give and take from both the landlord and the tenant, very importantly. Now, that's basically it's an in-depth thing. And that, as I said today, relates to home leases.
Mm-hmm.
We can chat next week about business leases. They also are vitally important. So we can talk about clauses put into that. That is what our chat will be next week then, mm-hmm. to move the focus from home leases
to business leases. Very, very interesting points there, and just showing that both parties are being protected as long as everybody abides by the rules and, you know, you've got the right paperwork in place.
That's it. Abide by the rules and there's no problems.
Great stuff. Peter, thank you very, very much. If somebody does need assistance, possibly for a lease drawn up or any other legal advice, how do they get in touch with Allums?
Yeah, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road. Allums is situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is in Devere Avenue. Telephone 043-7211-018. Alternatively, they can look us up on Facebook. Just add a S to Allum, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. They'll find all the details there and contact. And, of course, on Wild Coast FM, they'll find all our details as well.
Great. Peter, thank you very much. Have a great week and we look